streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Black Buffalo Zero products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of comparable products. If you're an adult age 21 and older who dips, I want to tell you about Black Buffalo Zero pouches. What are they made of? Pretty simple. Cured edible green leaves. Food grade ingredients. Most importantly, there's no nicotine or tobacco. All proudly made here in the U.S. So if you're 21 and older and want to learn more about Black Buffalo Zero, head over to blackbuffalozero.com to learn more. You can buy their pouch online, ship directly to most states. Black Buffalo Zero, zero nicotine, zero tobacco, 100% ritual. Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch. And the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
The Volume.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5. That's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
How have fans across the country been amping up the excitement every college football Saturday this season? They've been playing Colin Cowherd's Saturday Spreads on FanDuel for a free shot at big prizes. And for those who missed out on the fun earlier this season, there's still time to start playing. The game is simple. We'll choose 10 of college football's biggest matchups each week, make your picks against the spread for each one, and the fans who get the most right win a share of $5,000 in prizes. That's a share of $5,000 in prizes up for grabs every week. Here's what I'm thinking this week. I'm loving Notre Dame -6.5 at home against USC. Don't believe in USC in the middle of a coaching change. Will it be James Franklin? Seems like he's the leader right now. I'm going to take LSU +10.5 at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is beat up. LSU is too. LSU's found a little bit, especially in the gap scheme running game, which is going to run the clock, and Ole Miss's defense isn't exactly the steel curtain. Give me Penn State -23.5 against Brett Bielema and Illinois. Brett came out this week saying nobody that was on the team that was there before him has really made a contribution. So I don't think it's exactly rainbows and lollipops in that locker room. So I'm going Penn State big, Clifford hopefully coming back. You need to make sure you go to FanDuel.com/Saturday Spreads or download the FanDuel app to check in on Colin and Mai's weekly picks to get your picks in before for your free shot at $5,000 in prizes. No purchase necessary. Age restrictions apply depending on location. Void where prohibited. See FanDuel.com for terms and conditions.
Live from the College Football Hall of Fame, welcome to the J-Boy Show on The Volume. Presented by FanDuel and hosted by Jake Crane.
This is Roman Harper.
This is Derek Stingley Jr.
This is David Pollack, and you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And you're watching the J-Boy Show.
And thanks for watching the J-Boy Show.
All right, everybody, thanks for hopping in here on a Wednesday live from the College Football Hall of Fame. Shout out to the Booster Club. Actually threw a little Booster Club question out on Twitter. Going to be reading those as we go. It's a great day here from the College Football Hall of Fame. Got some college football tonight. App State versus Coastal. Going to be giving you our picks at the end, but have a hell of a show planned for you today. I'm going to start out my monologue making the case for 4 to 5 teams, and it's probably not the 4 to 5 teams that everybody would pick that have a chance to kind of upgrade themselves to jump into a new tier, not only in college football, but in the Southeastern Conference, and really the abilities and the ceilings of those teams. I think you'll find that interesting. Jordan Battle from Alabama, starting DB, had a pick six last week against Mississippi State. It's going to talk about their week of practice, getting ready for Tennessee, and kind of how it was an awakening, the loss at A&M. We're going to play some punt or go, as we usually do. The SEC Network's Cole Kublick is going to join us live. We're going to talk everything national landscape, SEC landscape, where he kind of sees it right now, and project a little bit into the future. Tony Barnhart, Mr. College Football, is going to join us as well to talk a lot of SEC. Is this the year for Georgia? And we're going to talk about which new coach, whether it be Brian Harsin, whether it be Shane Beamer, whether it be Clark Lee, whether it be Josh Heupel, which one of those guys has done the best job in his overall thoughts, on each job that they're doing. And then, of course, we're going to give you our bets for tonight. Gave our sharps Monday. Going to give you our bets for the night. A little Wednesday Fun Belt, Sun Belt in what is a showdown between App State and Coastal Carolina. But I want to start with making the case here on this first team. They're having a heck of a year this year. And how could they become a power in the SEC? When you look at Kentucky, and you know your grandfather's Kentucky from a football standpoint, you think basketball school, football's good every now and then. They're not super in love with it. But if you look at the breadth, and I'm not even talking about what Mark Stoops has done. When you look at the breadth of the Kentucky fan base, how many basketball fans that they have. They're all over the country. The passion is at an all-time high. You know you have the numbers. You just haven't been sexy enough to bring everybody in to the fold. But what's sexier than a new team on the block starting to reach for aspirations you never thought the Kentucky program could? And it's not like it's a one-off. It's not like Mark Stoops got there, inherited a bunch of players from a successful coach that went somewhere else. He's built this thing to last. How do you build it to last? You build it from inside out. They're good enough up front to win a lot of fights. You look at how physical they were against Georgia. Georgia was the superior team, I know. But Kentucky, if they handle business the next 2 weeks, which they likely will, is staring down the barrel of going 11-1. And this has been a turnaround that's been going on. It's been happening. They've basically been running an offense that was stuck in the 1920s until Liam Cohen came in, changed it a little bit. Their personnel is still run heavy, and they're smart enough to play to their personnel. But Kentucky, I feel, as long as Mark Stoops is there, as long as that culture is there, as long as that identity is there, and as long as it keeps spreading through the breadth of the Kentucky fan base, which we know is a sleeping giant, I think Kentucky can vault themselves from a mid-tier to lower-tier SEC team to the next tier out from being able to compete for a championship every year. It's a long way to go, but Mark Stoops has them on the track, he has them on the path, and he's doing it on the trail. And when you add that with the resources that Kentucky has, how new this love for Kentucky football is, the journey that Kentucky fans will take going from relative, you know, doesn't matter when it comes time to football season to we may actually have a chance every year, I think you will see Kentucky start to make more and more commitments to that football program. Not that basketball won't be important, not that it still won't be the best thing on campus or the biggest thing on campus, but football is creeping up, and that's good not only for the fans, but for the institution as well. So watch out for Kentucky jumping from mid to low tier to the next tier out and knocking on the door to once every 3 to 4 years, maybe even once every 3 years, take a shot to win the East and change. You know, we talk about changing the complexion of your family. Kentucky is changing their complexity in the SEC family right now, one snap at a time, one offensive lineman at a time, one defensive lineman at a time, and I don't see Mark Stoops slowing down, especially if they go 11-1 or 10-2. Who do we got next?
Auburn.
We all know that the ability to win at Auburn is there. It's a brand name. It's proven you can win championships there. And Brian Harsin comes in, a hire from outside of the box, really outside of the box. You go around the corner, get another box, go around another corner, and jump in that box is where they got Brian Harsin. And the biggest thing Auburn has to do here is make sure they don't get in their own way. When Auburn football is going good, there's a new sheriff in town and it's going good. Everybody wants to help. Everybody wants to jump in. Everybody wants a part of it. And that's fine. That's not a bad thing. But Auburn cannot get lost in the forest before they get to the ocean. Brian Harsin has a plan. You can see that he is implementing that plan from accountability to a new system to doing things a different way, not militarily or that type of style, but there's a whole heck of a lot more accountability, and there's to me a better culture and a longer lasting culture that he's building at Auburn. Auburn just needs to keep doing what they're doing and let Brian Harsin control how it goes. Now, are there bumps in the road? Yes. I mean, we talked about the firing of Cornelius Williams here, you know, the loss to Georgia State almost, but you see how they're bouncing back, and you know that Auburn has the capability. It's will they continue to give Brian Harsin the ability to reach out and do it his way. What does do it his way means? It means recruiting on a national level, not just a Southeastern level. You need to take care of your backyard. He's doing that at Auburn High School right now with Drew Bobo and Eston Harris. But being able to go get kids from California, go get kids from Washington, get kids from the Northeast, really expanding that footprint is going to make up for some of the battles right now that they just haven't had the winning record, or they're not the sexiest name to win some of these five-star defensive linemen and five-star offensive linemen. But the style that Brian Harsin preaches, not only schematically, and he lets his coordinators coach, whether it's Mike Bobo, whether it's Derek Mason, but the accountability at Auburn is back. The putting on the jersey and understanding that you're playing for something bigger than yourself, and the expectations and the standard should be high. You should measure yourself to the best. Auburn is back there right now. They've got a lot of momentum. Will they hit another bump in the road this season? I wouldn't be shocked. His personnel isn't where it needs to be. But the longer he's able to bring in his guys, specifically on the offensive line, specifically at quarterback, I think Auburn will be better for it. You just have to trust the process and stay out of the way.
Make the case for Arkansas being a powerhouse.
Well, we know Arkansas has the resources. I mean, you look what their athletic department as a whole is doing right now, from baseball to basketball to football. They have proven that they are relevant. You look in the past at the top 25 winningest teams. We know Arkansas has the ability to be a problem, and they've been down in the cellar. And Sam Pittman has led them out of the darkness into the light a little bit, even though some of them want to crawl back into darkness after the last couple of weeks. But you see what he is building. And similar to Mark Stoops, and really the best way to do it, Sam Pittman is making the line of scrimmage fun again at Arkansas. Because when you think of Arkansas, you football purists, guys that have kept up, girls that have kept up with it for a long time, when you think of Arkansas, you think of running the ball. You think of physicality. You think of a swarming defense. You think of huge offensive linemen. Sam Pittman is bringing that back. But for Arkansas to continue to take the next step, they have to continue to understand that from a personnel standpoint, at least right now, they're not nearly where they're going to be. But you got a glimpse of when Arkansas beat Texas and when they beat Texas A&M. America can fall in love with Sam Pittman. The college football landscape can fall in love with Sam Pittman. And that's what Arkansas needs. Because when Arkansas is rolling, their fan base is as dedicated, it's as wide, it's as deep as anyone's. There are people that are coming out of the woodwork even now, looking at the national exposure that Sam Pittman has gotten. But there is also another thing that we have to take, into account here. When you look at the SEC West in recruiting, how do you separate yourself? And Sam Pittman and that staff have separated themselves by being genuine. Not that other staffs in the SEC, particularly the SEC West, aren't genuine, but they're doing it in a very real way. And the real way lasts. And the longer that Arkansas is stockpiling talent up front on both sides of the ball, and then adding in the wide receiver from Florida, adding in the DB from Texas, and kind of recruiting a little bit outside of just that Arkansas corridor there with Texas and Louisiana, you're going to continue to see them climb up the ranks. And I know Arkansas fans may be down now. It may not look as cool as it did a couple weeks ago. Not as many people are putting out videos about Sam Pittman, this, that, or the other. But make no mistake, Arkansas has dug in for the long haul, and while they may not win 9 games this year, while they may not win 10 games this year, do not be shocked if over the next 2 to 3 to 4 to 5 years that Arkansas is making runs and winning games that they should not win, at least not to this point. And they will get to the point where they're able to physically and athletically compete with each team in the SEC. That's how good of a recruiter Sam Pittman is, but most importantly, that's how good of a person that Sam Pittman is.
Talk to us about Texas A&M.
Look, to me, if I had to pick somebody, and I said this before the year, if I had to pick a program to really challenge in the next 3 to 5 years, the Alabama and Georgia kind of monopoly that they've had on the SEC, A&M is up there. They are up there. Not just because Jimbo's a good coach, but it is easy access. It's easy resources. The fan base is as big as any in the country, and they will do whatever they have to do to get to the point where they are one of the big dogs. You could feel it a little bit this offseason. You know, it's coming back. They've lost to Mississippi State. They lost to Arkansas. They've had injuries, this, that, and the other. But when you look at the type of athletes on both sides of the ball that Texas A&M is bringing in, they are of very, very high caliber. I think that Texas A&M is probably closer than anybody right now from an athletic depth standpoint up front, even though they've got some young guys on that offensive line, when you look at an Alabama and you look at Georgia. But Jimbo Fisher knows what it takes to win a championship. He just took down Nick Saban. That's a huge feather in the hat. That's something on the recruiting trail that you can use, and while it may not be the difference, it may be what gets you in the door to have something that makes the difference. With NIL, it's huge for A&M. I already mentioned the resources, the alumni. They have more money than they know what to do with, and they're not afraid to spend it. So when you look at Texas A&M and you mix in Kyle Field, you mix in the resources, you mix in the fan base, you mix in their ability to go out and sign any kid at any point in time at anywhere in the country, including the state of Texas, I don't care that Texas is coming to the SEC. In my opinion, they are knocking on the doorstep, and all they need is 1 foot in the door of that playoff, whether it be 4, whether it be 8, whether it be 12, and then they're going to turn the corner. So to me, if I had to point at somebody, gun to my head right now, and say these guys will compete against Georgia and Alabama very, very well over the next 2 to 3 years and try and cement their place in that upper tier, Texas A&M is right up there. And even though they have two losses, even with the injuries, they're right on track still, in my opinion.
How about LSU?
Look, LSU recruits itself. Okay, we all know the way that LSU dominates the state of Louisiana, a state that is rich in talent every year. Now, they don't have the most linemen, especially offensive linemen, but from a skill position standpoint, linebacker standpoint, running back standpoint, you know, guys that can gain 20, 30 pounds and be hell off the edge, LSU has it for days. And those kids will most likely always go to LSU. But what LSU has is somewhat of a nuanced niche to me. LSU has a ton of swag. It's almost got that Miami swag feel, that difference when you're out there recruiting and you walk in with an LSU logo and you see Death Valley and you see how it's treated. There's a coolness to LSU that allows them to get into doors that other people can't just walk in. Not that Auburn's not cool, not that A&M's not cool, but there's something about LSU. There's something about the Bayou, and kids love it. You look at all the people they've put in the NFL. It's a pipeline to the NFL there. And that state, I would put that state up against a lot of states per capita in talent. But you have to make the right hire. This is the hire. This is the hire when you're in a nuclear arms race in the SEC. When the West is there, is where it is right now, when Nick Saban is probably 3 to 5 years being out, this is the hire that you cannot get wrong. Because as cool as LSU is, as much swag as there is down there, there's just too many dogs in the yard to take a step back or make the wrong decision. And if LSU makes the right decision, they're one of the few programs in the country that can go from the ugly stepsister to Cinderella in one flip of the coin. We know about how crazy LSU fans are about football down there. We know about how LSU gets when it's cooking down there, how the environment is, how the recruiting is, how contagious it is to be a part of that LSU swag. And that brand will always be that way. But you got one shot to make a great hire here. Will Scott Woodward do it? We know he's not afraid to pay, but at the end of the day, you make these decisions and you live with them. And I think that's what will tell if LSU is able to jump in that next tier consistently. And I'm not talking about a 2019 national championship. I'm not talking about a 2010 championship. I'm not talking about being relevant or being elite once every, you know, little bit. It's every year going, oh, hell. Bama and Georgetown, we got to play these guys. Mm-hmm. We got to recruit against these guys. Man, I'm feeling them catch up on the recruiting trail. I can feel it a little bit.
Any Florida fans in there wondering what they have to do?
Play defense?
I mean, tackle somebody?
Yeah. Stop the counter? LSU, to me, LSU's like that girl who's super hot but has, like, a great personality, too.
Yeah.
Right? It's just hard to find.
It is.
It's hard to find. It's you can't, you're LSU is just sexy to me. I don't know why. I guess
it's cool. It's cool.
The juice is a little bit different. Weird stuff goes on around in the Bayou, man. I've had guys from LSU legitimately look me in the face and say, I was like, you know, what do y'all do for fun? We chase rabbits.
Yeah, like, look.
You know how, and catch them.
And the type of athlete that's in the state of Louisiana.
Yeah.
They're different too mentally. Like they're not, there's no afraid down there. Like there's not a, oh man, you know, I'm in eighth grade and I'm playing varsity, man, I'm nervous. They're not like, when I was at South, we had a bunch of kids from Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Never once did any one of them be like, no, coach, don't put me in. Or coach, we'd have to grab them and pull them back from going in. Whether it's inside drill, whether it's one-on-one, it didn't matter. And they really are some of the most competitive mm-hmm. people from everything. Yeah. I mean, we used to have to go over to the dorms and be like, y'all got to calm down playing 2K because you're so loud. They think y'all are brawling in here. They're like, coach, we're just talking. And I'm like, I know because I know you guys.
Yeah.
I know that. But y'all are screaming at the top of you're 6'3", 245 pounds, and y'all are screaming at each other, and you're very loud because you're getting dogged on 2K. And you know what? I like my players like that.
I
would rather say whoa than go.
Yeah.
I would much rather say
that's
whoa than go.
That's why they need that father figure that you were talking about a few weeks ago. I'd like to know which state has the highest – in-state retention for its recruits? It would have to be Louisiana, right? If you have a top recruit in Louisiana, they go to LSU.
You would think.
I mean, maybe some of the Florida schools. Maybe some of the Florida schools.
And you would have to look at, like, the top players, too. Yeah. Because if you look at everything in aggregate, you can only sign a certain amount of guys. It's tough. But when you look at the top guys, the four stars, the five stars that are staying home, it is so hard to go to Louisiana, really anywhere in Louisiana. Now, there's spots where the high school coaches may not be happy with the staff that's there right now and their circumstances, but you go from the top of Louisiana to the bottom of Louisiana, those guys love LSU football. They love LSU football, and they love the Saints.
Yep.
Yeah. Those are the two things they love.
I mean, you said it best. You said, look, LSU can go get a top quarterback recruit from California, but California schools aren't coming to Louisiana and getting that top quarterback recruit.
I don't see a bunch of, I don't see a bunch of USC recruits and UCLA recruits coming down to Edna Carr. You know, I don't see a lot of that. You know, you really don't. But LSU, to me, and again, you saw it in 2019, just that weight, just that swag, just that juice. It's different. It's different when teams, not that Alabama doesn't have swag, but they go about it a different way. LSU, it's almost like a kind of a, you know, looser deal. I don't. It's hard for me to explain, but college football fans know exactly what I'm talking about. It's just different.
Yeah, we're better than you and we know it type of thing. We're not gonna say it, but we're gonna show it.
That can be a double-edged sword, though.
It can.
Like with Miami,
that's right.
Southern Cal,
that's
they can go downhill.
That's why you've got to hire the right guy. You've got to have the right guy in there to control it. It's a superpower, but with great power. Going Spider-Man right here.
Oh, wow. You're going Toby?
I'm going Toby McGuire
right now?
With great power comes great responsibility.
I didn't think we'd get to Spider-Man until it was pick time.
Yeah, who knows at this point. It's a who's who. But speaking of Spider-Man, a guy that's able to make plays all over the field, had a big pick six last weekend against Mississippi State.
Yep.
He's always smiling. I know he was smiling when he had the pick six. Let's bring Jordan Battle in here. We're going to get to the Booster Club soon. All right, everybody, as we usually do weekly, bringing in Alabama standout DB, coming off a good game, had a pick six, Mr. Jordan Battle. Jordan, what's up?
What's up, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. It's good to see you again, coming off a win after a tough loss at A&M. And, Jordan, I want to start before we get to the win against Mississippi State. You guys coming back for practice last week. You know, I know you guys are always focused and it's very structured. Was there anything different, though? Was it turned up a notch last week? Was it something a little bit maybe out of what has been going on lately?
Yeah, the intensity was definitely a lot better than it usually was last week. We put a big emphasis on how we can you know recover from that loss, and how we can you know not let that one loss determine how we can be for the rest of the year. So that was really the big thing, and just focusing on what we can become, and not just you know putting ourselves down just because of one loss.
Yeah, and you know, Jordan, you're a guy, you're a student of the game. What were some things defensively, and I'm going to ask you to get in the weeds or give us any of the special sauce, but what were a few things defensively, especially in the back end that you guys talked about, maybe tightening up that zone a little bit, getting your eyes in the right spot? What was some of the messaging this week?
Yeah, some of the, you know, just covering the slot, you know, a lot better, getting down on guys, you know, hooking, swatting, you know, because sometimes we're in position, but we just don't make the plays. And we put a big emphasis on, you know, coming down and making open field tackles and not letting the ball cross our face. So those are just some little things that we could have tweaked in the game that would have, you know, turned out well.
Yeah, and at this level, at the level you guys play at and in the SEC, every second counts. So fundamentally, if you're not perfect or on time, that's something you've got to be able to fix, and I know you guys did that. And you know, playing a Mississippi State team, when you're playing an air raid team, Jordan, being a DB, I know you love coming downhill and you're not afraid of contact at all. You'll meet anyone in the alley. We've seen that. But going against an air raid team, you got to be thinking to yourself, hey, you know, I might have some opportunities this week to catch a couple balls, and you sure did.
Yeah, you know, it's just the big thing is patience. Let the play come to you. Just break on the ball every time the ball is thrown, because you know usually you play eight drops when you play an air raid team, so you know everybody has to break on the ball when the quarterback's off and come off. So that was just the biggest thing, was breaking on the ball, you know, creating turnovers.
For sure. Now take me, Jordan, inside the helmet. You pick the ball off. You're rolling down the sideline. I know they're screaming, set up the wall, set up the wall, set up the wall. What was going through your mind? And I knew you were going to score. About halfway, you could tell you knew you were going to score. It kicked in that extra gear a little bit. But take our audience inside the helmet there.
Yeah, mainly it was just the break of the receiver's route, the corner route. I just broke on to him, and then I saw his eyes get big, and I turned around, and I saw the ball, and that's when usually I'll make a deflection or anything, but this time I decided, you know, go for the interception, and as you can see, I caught it. And then I was about to cut across field, but I saw my teammates blocking, like Malachi.
Yep.
Yeah, Malachi and Armour Davis and Phil Matthews, I think, got a block for me down the sideline, and Henry. So I just decided to follow my guys down the sideline and to the end zone.
Yeah, you know, I always thought it was cool because you work in practice and you're always told, hey, once you pick a side and the wall's set to that side, don't cut it across the field. Now, you get in the NFL, you can do whatever the hell you want. They really cut it back. They've been pitching it to each other in the NFL and stuff. But, no, I mean, that was great technique by you guys. And, you know, moving forward, Jordan, and looking at the matchups y'all have, again, controlling your destiny in the SEC West, got some big games, including this one against Tennessee, which we know is a big rivalry, even though Alabama's really dominant. Dominated it. What does this weekend mean to you with Tennessee coming in, running that style of offense, the up-tempo, full speed? How much does that change the preparation for you guys?
That almost goes back to Ole Miss week. We have to be mentally prepared, line up quickly, get the call, you know, and execute the call, because when we're all on the same page, we're a dangerous team. And when we're not, we're not. So we have to be on the same page every play, get the call, and make sure everybody can execute the call before the snap.
True, and from a communication standpoint, Jordan, and this is something that I find fascinating, when teams are going that fast, you have to speed up your communication as well, because you don't just want to stay in base the whole time. That's half the reason they're doing what they're doing. So does the communication change? I know you guys do hand signals. I'm not asking for all that. But how much faster does the communication have to be on y'all's end, reacting to what you're getting from a team going so fast?
Yeah, usually, from the DB aspect, the corners don't even look. The corners, like, if they can, the far side corner doesn't even look at the sideline, just looks at the safety for the call. Mm-hmm. So, usually the communication does change us because we don't have as much time, you know, for everybody to look at the sideline and get the call and execute the call. So usually the corner just looks at the safety and we'll just give them the call or tell them the coverage and they just play from there.
Definitely. And my last question for you, Jordan, I know you guys are excited to get back home. We know Bryant Denny's going to be rocking. What is it like for you to be able to play at home and have the advantage on your side and all that noise going on when the defense is out there because they're trying to get that offense to get a few procedure penalties?
Yeah, man, it's nothing like playing in Bryant Denny. The fans are always rocking for us. It's a night game, so, you know, the lights will be flashing. And we just hope to give the fans what they want. This is a big game, big rivalry for all the alumni, and we're hoping to give them the game that they want to see.
Well, Jordan, you always give me the interview we want to see, brother. I appreciate you. Congrats on the success last week. Good luck this weekend at home. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, my guy.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HEARD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HEARD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, terms and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So whether you're heading out to explore a new trail or looking to set a personal best on your daily run, start your journey off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Discover the power of advanced nutrition for strength and stamina at ProPlanSport.com. That's ProPlanSport.com.
Jordan's always a good time, man.
My guy.
My guy.
I feel like I started that.
You didn't start
I started that. Hey, what's up, my guy? I feel like I'm
mute.
Blake Ruffino. Ask Blake Ruffino, and he'll tell you the truth.
I don't believe it. Speaking of the truth, let's go to the Booster Club.
Yeah, David Elam with the question here. He says,
David,
can anyone tell me why Arkansas has never been able to recruit the football program? In 25 years, we have never finished in the top half of the SEC. Right now, we are averaging 13th in the SEC for 2022.
Well, look, and I've talked about recruiting rankings on here. You know, they're great to look at. You know, most of the ones that are 4 and 5 stars are going to hit. You have your bus and stuff like that. But, look, it's not always about that. And if you go back and look at teams, especially in the NFL, you look at the average star rating and this, that, and the other. And then, again, you're looking at how many teams. But if I'm Arkansas, you guys are going to get up there in the recruiting rankings just over time. It's going to happen. But the thing about Sam Pittman is he's signing guys that fit what he wants to do as well. It's not all about stargazing. You don't work for NASA. You're a college football coach. You want the stars that fit the type culture that you want and act and that are going to act the way that you want, because again, it is a team sport. Football is the greatest team sport, in my opinion, on the planet, but you have to have the right recipe. You have to have the right mixture. That's why sometimes you look at Georgia or Alabama and you're like, man, you know, they signed that 3-star. They offered a 3-star. They could care less about what his star is. Now, it looks cool, and people get bonuses and stuff like that for 4 and 5 stars at some places. But at the end of the day, it's about winning. It's about winning. And you can take a bunch of teams that have won championships and go through that roster and re-rank the stars, see who mattered the most. And you will be shocked to see the correlation between the stars that were coming out of high school and the stars that are at a place now that I'm talking about that just won the championship. But in that same token, it is a balance. You want to sign the best players in the country that are also the best people in the country. Mm-hmm. That is the race. And there's a lot more good players that aren't great people than there are great players that are great people. And it's finding that. And sometimes it may not be the 5-star or the 4-star. It may be the 3-star that you're watching on tape and you're saying, man, like, I think we can get this kid. And if you put 20 pounds on him, or maybe he's in an area that's not heavily recruited, but as people just aren't in love with in recruiting, and say, this guy is 25 pounds away from being what we want him to be. You look at our roster, we need to sign a guy at this position, but we can redshirt a guy at this position, put him in the weight room, get him there. He's a 3.8 student. He does great in the community. We've talked to the counselor. We've talked to the lunch lady. They all love him. Those are the type guys that you're willing to take a chance on. And a lot of times, does that mean they're going to be, you know, Cadillac Williams, or they're going to be Darren McFadden every time? No. Sometimes. But you tend to always get more out of those guys for longer, especially in a society today where you can just get in the portal if it doesn't work out good. Mm-hmm. You want guys that kind of have that, I guess you'd call it moxiness, but that salt of the earthness mixed with the ability. And you'll take maybe a guy that needs to get a little more flexible, but you see the potential, and he handles his business off the field, and he treats people with respect, as opposed to a guy out there that's got all-world potential,
yeah.
But you have to worry every night when he leaves practice. You got to worry every Friday night before a game or any time he leaves the facility. And you get too many guys like that, it's amazing how they start finding each other.
We all know those guys. Everybody in the booster club has played with some guy
that's
who's
exactly
so
right.
athletically gifted, right? He's always gotten by on that talent and maybe a person of low character. Mm-hmm. And look, you can make it – if you're athletically gifted enough, you can play athletics at a high level. But at some point, the amount of work you have to do yep. with these top programs
the
is so
to detail.
Strenuous that a bad character, a low character, will shine through eventually.
That's true. And, I mean, if you're a guy that ends up signing with an Alabama or a Georgia or one of these elite teams – you go in there, yeah, you're athletic, but so are all these guys.
Yep.
So what separates you now? Mm-hmm. Your ability separated you in high school from a lot, from 99.99% of the country. What separates you now? And that's the difference. When you start getting a culture in your locker room and in your program where you have a bunch of talented guys that aren't even worried about how talented they are, it's not about that anymore. It's how well they can do the stuff outside, how well they can embrace the routine, how early they can show up, how much extra film they can watch, how much they can do as a team off the field, whether it's just throwing during the summer and stuff like that. That's when you start seeing that machine
yep.
crank it out. And guess what? Great players want to be coached hard. Kids mm-hmm. that are coming out of high school that think I have a chance to make the NFL, but I know the work that I'm going to have to put in, go to these places and watch that, and that's what jumps off at the page.
Yep.
It's not only are yep. these guys stars, but they handle their business.
And they police.
And
it polices
yeah.
itself.
They police the players. It's kind of what Saban said. There's nothing like a team where your best players are also your hardest
workers. Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the whole goal. And once you have that, you either conform or you get the hell out.
Yep. Yep.
That's how it should be. That's how a winning program operates. Let's play some Punt or Go.
Okay. Let's see here. I got the first one for you. All right. The Matt Corral injury will lead to an LSU upset. Punt or Go.
I'm going to say punt, but barely. And I'm not saying that Matt Corral's not going to play. What I'm saying is if he is limited running, that takes a big tool out of the toolbox. Not just him escaping and getting 15 yards on the run, but extending plays, making one guy miss and then finding a guy downfield. But looking at this injury, being a lower body injury, if it's a, hey, we're going to have to do it from the pocket, not that he can't. Matt Corral's one of the most talented, if not the most talented thrower in college football, but you're taking a huge wing away from the offensive department of what Ole Miss does. Because now you look outside, well, Braylon Sanders is beat up. Jonathan Mingo has a broken foot. They're down a left guard. Ole Miss is a little bit beat up. It's not just Matt Corral.
Mm-hmm.
And if the LSU game scares you, not just because LSU still has good players, but they're playing with house money. What are they going to do, fire Ed Orgeron?
Mm-hmm.
They can go down there and do – you don't know. You really have no idea. And LSU's like, hey, wait a minute, we can run the counter really well. Or we're a gap scheme team, like a bunch of us have been saying all season. But they've got nothing to lose. If they go play bad, well, hell, they play bad. But typically, if you go down there and play free, it's a lot scarier than it is a team that goes down there and they're uptight. Are they worried about making a mistake? LSU's got no worry in the world. And when you blend those type of athletes with really not any worries in the world, as Lane Kiffin or that Ole Miss coaching staff, and I know they've been talking about it all week, guys, they could blitz every down on defense. Well, why not? If you say, all right, Matt Corral can't run that well, why would you not just heat him up? I'm not looking out there and seeing Elijah Moore. I'm not looking out there and seeing Kenny Aboah. I'm not looking out there and seeing Jonathan Mingo. Braylon Sanders is beat up. And on LSU, who cares? Y'all want to run screens? Run screens. We'll just retrace and try and knock it down. So it's a scary combination for Ole Miss. I still think they win, but I don't think they cover.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Oklahoma will win out with Caleb Williams at quarterback.
I'm going to punt. I think they lose the game, and it may be the Bedlam game. against Oklahoma State. Just because Oklahoma State, it's not super flashy. Those are the type of teams that give Oklahoma trouble. You look at the Kansas States of the past. You look at the Iowa States of the past.
TCU.
It's not TCU. It's not super flashy, but they just kind of hang around. Kind of like Edo. They just hang around and hang around and hang around. And then you look up, and in the fourth quarter, you're like, whoa, we're up by three, and they're driving. Like, they're at the 10 going in with 6 minutes to go. And Caleb Williams is a big talent. We know that. We know how talented he is. But there is a game coming where he does not play well, where he tries to force them, because everything's going good. It's rainbow candy and lollipops right now. But the minute it starts going bad, we're going to see how he reacts to it, because it's not always going to be candy and rainbow and lollipops. And I think Oklahoma does drop a game, which throws another wrench into who's going to make the Final Four as we kind of get to stretch time here.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see if they trend even better now that they've kind of gotten the Spencer Rattler problem out of the way, or if, like you said, his youth will shine through. Here's the next one I want to know. Josh Heupel will beat Alabama at least once in his tenure.
Hey, spread punt. I'm punting this.
Okay.
Look, they haven't beat him since I was like, gosh, how long has it been? I was, 17? Maybe shorter than that, no, younger than that? I had to be younger than that. I don't see it. I still believe this NCAA cloud, if I'm a Tennessee fan, just, it bothers me. It bothers me. And I talk about this a little bit with Tony Barnhart. Like, just tell me what we got. Like, what's the penalty? Because you can't start fresh until you know what the penalty is. Is it a postseason ban, which sucks? Is it reduced scholarships? What is it? You need to know. And I still don't think Tennessee has near the personnel, because they don't. It's the truth that Alabama has. They're not going to beat them Saturday. It's going to be ugly Saturday. And they are at least, I mean, I think 4 or 5 maybe even 6 years from being able to bring in the type talent and stockpile the type talent that Alabama's going to have and they're going to continue to have. Because if Nick Saban retires, it's not like everybody's going to stop going to Alabama. They won't be as dominant as they were, but they're going to bring in a guy that can recruit. And Alabama, the machine, the players going to the NFL are still going to be there, and the new staff is going to try and pick up off that and just ride off that and just add to it and add to it and add to it. They've already got the blueprint. But no, I don't think Josh Heupel, I'm going to put on that, I don't think Josh Heupel beats Alabama once.
All right, so understanding that Wake is the only undefeated team in the ACC left, the ACC will not produce a playoff team this season.
Go, I'm going to go on this. I think the ACC, you know, you look at Clemson, they've been the flagship team in there. Florida State, not pretty right now, even though they're doing better. Miami, not pretty right now, even though they're doing worse. When you look around the conference, Wake's been a great story. Look, they play an Army team. This is a weird game this weekend. This is just an interesting matchup. Army's been playing pretty well. They have their identity. We know they're the triple option. We're going to get it wide, run. And Wake, while they're undefeated, hasn't been clean all the way through. It's not like they're mopping people up. You know, they've had good wins and this, that, and the other. They escaped in Syracuse. There's been multiple other games. They're going to slip up. But the ACC will not have a playoff team this year, and they shouldn't. They're not good enough.
All right, so Outback Steakhouse, with all the NIL deals, is the best restaurant chain in the country.
Well, it's just so funny. We got Cole Kublik coming on here in a minute, and Cole, you know, is eating the Bloomin' Onions on camera. It's kind of a great segue. Look, Outback is up there, man. I like Outback.
Alice Springs chicken
I
hits,
look,
man.
It hits hard. It hits hard. Always been a Bloomin' Onion fan. I really like the vibe. It would be a higher ranked. I'll say go on that. Outback is up there. Always had clean bathrooms. Never had a bad situation.
It's not a
the
big
vibe.
Fan.
You're not a big
not
fan.
Not a big fan not of
not
the Outback.
Fan. It's not.
Really?
It's not, guys.
Why not? Why not? You got any reasons? You're just not a big fan,
you
huh?
You know, it's just not that good. Good to me.
Really? So what's good? What's the best chain restaurant that you think?
The best chain restaurant?
Yeah.
Here,
really,
don't
really.
Put me on the spot.
No, we're going to dive in.
You're already
here.
On the spot
you're
when you said
spot.
Outback
well,
is trash.
Yeah. Okay, trash, that's not what I said. Trash
okay,
is a
I
whole.
Put words,
like,
I put words in his mouth.
That's like calling someone a clown.
Mouth.
Right?
That's
different.
Fighting words.
You said they were trash. It's on tape.
I just don't think they're that good.
You don't think they're upper tier?
Yeah. I would
you
say
know
that.
What?
What do you want? Longhorns?
I'm
Applebee's?
I mean, Chili's with me and my boys.
Here we go. Chili's with him and his boys.
Outback should reach out to us. Free food to get Blaine convinced.
We got
to
get Blaine convinced.
On the Alice Springs chicken with the honey
Actually,
mustard.
Actually, you know what? Outback, send us your hottest wing sauce. I really want you
That's
guys
going
to
down
take
Friday,
the clip.
Bud.
I want you to take the clip of Blaine saying
what's
that.
This, what's
and
this
I want
this
you
way?
To just,
what's
just
this wing
whip,
situation
whip up a batch of just the hottest stuff you got. And just put it all together, a real witch's brew, Outback style, just to watch Blaine eat it. I think everybody can enjoy that.
Well, that's
an interesting last question.
Yeah, that's you know, we used to go when I was younger to Outback.
I like
we used
Outback.
To think it was a
I tell you what, we used to
treat,
go to Red
man.
Lobster all the time.
The best game.
But the options. Problem, here's the problem though. You go to Red, at least for me, you go to Red Lobster and I'm like, all right, man, I'm going to get the lobster pasta or something like that. And then they bring out those cheese biscuits. And there's no way you can't eat too many of the cheese. By the time the meal comes, I'm full.
My dad always complains about that.
Man,
but they're so good.
You think Pringles, you think the fun, you can eat one of those and the
man,
fun don't stop?
Yeah.
If I would like to find the psychopath that can eat one Red Lobster cheese biscuit and just put the rest down. They're like, all right, I'm good till dinner. Show me that. But you want me to show you that person? You want to know why?
They don't exist.
That's why.
I used to walk in the Red Lobster. I went to Red Lobster mostly when I was a kid. And you know when you walk in the Red Lobster, they got all the lobsters right in front of you in the carriage. And I used to look at them like, man, y'all don't even know.
No. They're like, man,
y'all
we're
don't
out
even
here.
Know what's
you know, we're
happen
in a tank.
Soon.
It's a great situation. And they come
I'm with
and grab
my
you.
Boys.
And they boil you alive.
Yeah.
That's just, how every movie
harsh.
Ends at Red Lobster. That's tough.
Yeah.
It's hard
at
out here for a lobster. Yeah, the biscuits are great. The biscuits are great.
Good.
All right, speaking about people that do exist, Cole Kublick does exist, and we're going to bring him in right now to prove it. There he is. Hey, Cole, what's up, man?
Hey, how's it going, man?
It's going good. I just, you know, my brother over here with the blasphemy about Outback Steakhouse, I'm kind of reeling from that after he said he didn't think it was a top chain restaurant. I know you've obviously had – I know,
whoa,
that's what I
whoa.
Said.
They're yeah, really Tennessee-ish to me.
Well, you know, you're really on one tonight, and you need to stop.
Why the bad attitude?
You
man?
Need to stop because you're doing too much. All right, Cole, let's get in here. We can talk about Bloomin' Onions all day, but let's talk a little bit national landscape before we get to the SEC. And I've talked about this a lot. The parity in college football this year, outside, I mean, you know, Georgia to me looks like the most dominant team. Alabama, we know how elite their players are and their ceiling, the ceiling that they have. But just your thought on the super seniors and the overall parity this year. It's been fun. The narratives have been a little bit different.
Yeah, I think it's been interesting to see a couple of different teams that are maybe in a position to play their way into the playoff or play in their way into the playoff discussion. We've already had a couple different ones. Some Cincinnati's there. Iowa obviously was there for a while. Bad loss to Purdue over the weekend. And then I think, too, when you look at sort of what's next and some other teams that may have that opportunity, Michigan State's going to be there. Michigan is still there. And you look at what those two teams, along with Ohio State, still have to play the rest of the way. That's going to be a lot of fun to watch. So I wouldn't say Oregon's out of it by any stretch of the imagination. It's been pretty cool. I don't really know. I think we all thought going into it that some of the super seniors in the transfer portal were going to be the big reason that was going to take place. I can't really point to a team and say, oh, well, they had 7-8 guys back, so this is definitely the reason that super seniors have made this big of a difference. I think it's helped a lot of teams. I just don't think we have as many elite quarterbacks in college football this year, and that's probably why we're seeing it. I mean, some of the usual suspects, be it Clemson or a couple other teams that we're used to being there, they're not getting the same kind of play from that position, and I think it's making a big difference.
True, and it's amazing. Defense is getting an actual spring, and then a true fall camp, I think, is taking a little bit out of the offense explosion that we saw last year. But I want to get to LSU, Cole. This is a huge hire. It's always a huge hire when you come down the SEC, but you look at really the nuclear arms race that we have, and you look at the West right now. Who are a couple guys in your mind that you think would be a good fit at LSU that are a realistic possibility?
I'm going to give you one that I think should be a realistic possibility, but probably isn't off the jump, and it's Billy Napier. I think, you know, he's 45 minutes down the road at Lafayette right now. He's got he's dug into Louisiana as far as recruiting's concerned. I think he understands how to build an entire football facility as opposed to just a roster. He's already recruited the state. I think he could put an amazing staff together, and he's a culture guy. He's someone who understands that you don't just go accumulate talent, throw them on the field, and then you're going to be able to win games. So I also just don't think that the LSU brass is going to go for that. I think that there are going to be folks that say, we can't allow ourselves to go hire a coach from Louisiana Lafayette to be the next head coach at LSU. So then I think you're going to see James Franklin. I think you're going to see Bill O'Brien. I think you're going to hear about Lincoln Riley. I don't know how real that is or not. I don't really know what Lincoln wants. I don't know if he thinks a change of scenery would be good for him. We hear the NFL rumors the last few years. I don't think those happen for no reason. So I doubt that he would go to another Power 5 school before he might make that jump. It's Scott Woodward's got a track record of making some surprise hires and going and finding big name coaches to move in. Here's the problem with that, Jake, is I've heard it described a couple of different ways. Splash hire, monster hire. He has to bring a star in. You know, it has to be a big name that's going to resonate. All right, how many of those names are out there? I mean, honestly, how many that fit that description are out there? And then how many could you immediately take off your list that just aren't going to take it? Because I mean, Dabo might leave one day, but I don't think he's leaving for LSU. Saban's not leaving. Ryan Day's not leaving. And if Lincoln Riley's not leaving, who's left on that list? Jimbo? And by the way, I wouldn't leave A&M for LSU right now. Not today. Most days I would, but not right this second. Not with what Jimbo's already done and not with some of the other stuff happening behind the scenes at LSU. But it is a top five job in college football. So there will be names that you and I aren't even thinking about and aren't even talking about that become a real possibility for that job.
Yeah, well, I always say on here, the first guy you hear that's going to get it never gets it, typically in this situation. Another name to me, and it's not a sexy name or a splash hire. I may go talk to the guy that just drug you at home at Kentucky, Mark Stoops. Maybe just see how it's going with him, because that guy, to me, you know, while it wouldn't be the sexiest name out there, this, that, and the other, the guy can obviously coach and he understands how to build it from the inside out. But Cole, speaking about having to build it from the inside out, Brian Harsin in Auburn, you know, Bo Nix, they go to Arkansas, took what Arkansas gave them. You know, Bo Nix looks like a completely different guy. I think that's what. I don't think Mike Bobo gets enough credit as a position coach. You know, you hear about coordinators and play calling, but this is what he does. Just your overall thoughts of Auburn right now as a team that still controls their own destiny as we sit here on October 20th.
I think it's easy, Jake, to say ahead of schedule. It's easy to say improved. I mean, you watch that offense like I do, and I can't help but watch it every week and think, good God, this is a patchwork deal.
Yeah.
Like, they are really just sort of mixing and matching and, you know, tinkering with things to be able to find a way to consistently move the ball a little bit. And it's morphed and it's changed throughout the course of the season. When you go back to LSU and look how they put in some of the misdirection and some of the heavy formations, and then how they really started to focus and emphasize on quarterback run, probably saying to themselves, this is what the guy does best. We might as well use it. We might as well put it out there and give him the option to pull it and put him out on the perimeter and give him the option to keep it. And we know now we got a guy behind him that's not a complete liability, so maybe we can afford to let him take 5, 8, 10 more hits a game. And we'll be comfortable with that. But I think you're right, not just about Bobo as a quarterback coach, but Bobo and Harsin also with the way that they've put the plans together offensively. You know, now you saw a few more shot plays in the Arkansas game. I think some of that has to do with the confidence in the receivers. I think the receivers are playing a little bit better. And Bo a bit better. I mean, you go back to that Georgia game, the body language was terrible. It was awful. It needed to improve. I saw a little bit of improvement in that department with him. And then obviously the touch and the feel on a couple of those deep balls against Arkansas, actually giving the receivers a chance to adjust and go make a play. That hasn't really been there in many other times in his career. So that's improved. I mean, I think I counted it up today. The tight ends have accumulated for around 34 catches and almost 100 yards.
Yeah.
We haven't seen that in I don't know how long.
What does that mean, you know, Cole? What do those numbers mean?
A little bit involved. it means that guys know how to formation you and use different people at different positions that can do multiple things on the field at one time. And they're going to make you more difficult to defend. And that's just something else that group has done that's pretty impressive. And I'll ask you this question because I've thought it out loud and I asked it on my show this morning with Greg. If the Georgia State game goes in a similar fashion to the first two non-conference games, even half of that, let's just say it was 34-10 and it was a boring, comfortable non-conference win, how different is the perception of Auburn and Brian Harsin right now? Because I think that's the one thing that is holding people back from being impressed with what's happened.
Yeah, and you know the funny part about that, the irony in that, is I think that probably the best thing that happened to this Auburn football team the whole year was to barely win that game against Georgia State, and the coach is able to go back. But I agree with you. I mean, they're always going to look back, and people, you know, will always look back and say, oh, well, how can I have my faith in this guy if you guys had to beat Georgia State on a last-second drive? Well, I can go back and tell you multiple times that national championship teams struggle with teams that they should have beaten very badly. Now, it may not be from a Georgia State standpoint, but I watched Auburn go up to Lexington and have to kick a field goal with Cam Newton in 2010 to win the game in a game they should have won by a lot more. That's exactly right. They had to throw almost a Hail Mary at halftime to win that game when you go back and look at it. So, no, look, a win is a win, but to me, when I look at markers for Auburn through the season, I go back to that Georgia State win, and I think that win, from a internal standpoint, and using that to go forward and watching the way they've played since then, may have been the best blessing in disguise that Auburn has had the whole season, which is exactly the opposite take that a lot of people will have when they look at where Auburn is right now. But Cole, my last question, but before I let you out of here, I know you got to run. Give me two teams, if you don't mind, from national landscape, from across the country outside of Alabama and Georgia, that you think would have a chance to beat either Alabama or Georgia.
Ohio State would be one of those teams just because of the offense I think they'd be able to generate. It's has nothing to do with their defense. I think the offensive line has gotten a little bit better across the course of the season. I just think that they would potentially be able to go out there and score and be able to find a way to beat those teams. And I'd probably say the same. I'm a little more wait and see on this one, but Oklahoma would be the other one. Since they've made the change at quarterback, it looks like it's supposed to look. And it's gotten a little bit better. Now, they're still beat up in some areas that I wish they were healthy in. The offensive line under Bill Beedenbow still hasn't really come around the way that I thought it would this year. But they are now dynamic at the position that they have to be dynamic in. And those will be the two teams that I think on that stage possibly could be able to go out and get a win. And it's only because of confidence in their ability to score.
True, and you know, everybody talks about the pass with Lincoln Riley and don't realize how everything a lot of what he does is predicated off the run game, especially the gap scheme run game. They do play action power, play off the power about as good as anybody, and he always has. And now that you got a quarterback that can run, I think that's kind of eased a little bit of their run game as well. But Cole, it's always great to have you on, my friend. I appreciate it.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it. We'll do it again soon.
All right. Talk soon. Cole Kubik, man, always great. A real one.
Yeah.
Stuck. Look, he's a real one.
Smart guy.
You either know it or you don't.
Yep.
And Cole knows it. He brings up some great points, too. The Georgia State point's a great point. Blaine, let's get to the Booster Club.
Yeah, we have a $2.69 donation from Eric.
Eric!
I see what you did there, Eric. And he said, how bad will the Ducks beat UCLA this weekend?
You know, look, I like Oregon this weekend. I do. You're coming off a game against Cal. You didn't play great. Losing Verdell hurts. Mm-hmm. Anytime you lose, because he was their witch. You know, he really was. CJ Verdell was. And they lost him. But they have some other guys that are starting to figure it out. You know, the quarterback's dynamic. He's able to extend plays. We talk about extending plays here. The zone read game's real. The quarterback run game there is real. And I'm just not sold still on UCLA offensively.
Can't throw it.
You know, the Dorian kid at quarterback, I don't trust him. I don't trust him. And Oregon does a really good job, and Mario Cristobal does a really good job, of either coming off a loss of when they don't play well, they tend to play well the next couple of weeks. And that shows you kind of his grip on that team, kind of the culture's grip on that team. So I think Oregon is going to go beat UCLA, get a little bit of momentum. And look, I love talking Pac-12 and this, that, and the other. You just got to give us something to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, you got to give us something to talk about. I'm not going to sit up here and talk about Oregon State for no reason. I'm not going to talk about Washington State for no reason. But right now, Oregon's been the flagship. USC's looking for a head coach. UCLA's had somewhat of resurgence under Chip Kelly, and they returned a lot. Spanked LSU the first week. But I like Oregon under the radar this week against UCLA, Eric, and I appreciate the donation, all $2.69.
Absolutely. You got a question here from Grant Brown. What's
Grant
up, Grant?
Brown.
Says, how big of an impact does it make that is the first time some players are playing in full away game stadiums?
Oh, well, it makes a huge impact. I mean, if you're a guy that hasn't experienced it. Now there's guys that, you know, have been here a while and the COVID year was kind of an anomaly and they're used to the stands being like this. But imagine if you're a freshman, a true freshman coming in last year, or a redshirt freshman or a transfer that hasn't played. Because, look, it's different when you're on the sideline in uniform and it's loud and then you're playing. and it's loud. It's a totally, totally different thing. So to me, if I'm a freshman going on the road, you saw a little bit, you know, Bama at Florida a little bit with some of the new guys, Bama at A&M with some of the new guys, but across the college football landscape, you are seeing some teams go into places that have young guys at important positions, whether it's your starting corner, he's your field corner, he's your boundary corner, whatever, having a little bit of trouble, and more of it is offensively with the procedure penalties and stuff like that. Young offensive linemen. You saw Texas A&M's young offensive line struggle a little bit early with the noise and making sure everything was flowing. You have your false starts and this, that, and the other. So it's huge. Anytime you are messing with the communication of players, multiple players, and players at multiple important positions, it's going to have an overall effect on the game. So it's a great question.
Yeah, I got a question here from Q Wolf, and he says, first of all, what's up, J-Boy?
What's up?
And he says, will Tank Bigsby finish his career as a better running back than old Trey Mason?
I think so. You know, now, I think Tank's going to be gone after his junior year. I think he's going to be one of the first backs taken. I still think, you know, something's, I don't know if his hip's 100%. Something's a little bit nicked with him, you can tell. Not that he's shying away from contact, but just the big runs. And Auburn's offensive line hasn't opened up a ton of holes for him and stuff like that. So when you watch, you've got to use every circumstance that you have. How good is your offensive line, the players around him, the system, how does it fit? You know, with Nick Marshall, you had to run it a lot more than you had to throw it, even though you did your RPOs and stuff like that. That was basically the offense. And you were running to be able to throw a couple passes and take a couple shots a game because that's what Nick Marshall was. Imagine if you had Tank Bigsby with Nick Marshall running what they were running. So I think he will. Now, if you're looking at pure yardage and the amount of ground that was covered, I don't know if he'll have as much as Trey, but from an ability standpoint, from an explosive play standpoint, from having a huge effect not only on the game as it goes, but the game as it's planned, Tank Bigsby has just as big an effect.
Where does my boy Kenny Irons rank on that
list? Dude, Kenny's up there.
I love Kenny, man.
Kenny was a dog.
Yeah,
Kenny went down to LSU and before the game looked at the camera and said, I'm going for 200, and went for 220.
We got to get Kenny in here.
We got to get Kenny
in the studio.
I saw him at this, there was this dinner thing that I went to, and he was there, and it was great catching up with him. Shouted out you and stuff like that.
Good.
Kenny's just a good guy. David, too. David was a heck of a player.
Yeah.
Heck of a DB.
Got some big picks.
Yeah, for sure.
And that, I think the kind of with that Nick Marshall, and that offense was so nuanced to the game.
It was. It was kind of new. It was
tempo,
fresh.
You know, yeah. So it's a lot more. A lot more availability with that offense.
Fresh.
Got a question here from Mike and Mary Hogger. What's up,
Mike and Mary?
Hashtag Ask J-Boy. Do you think the NIL money will get to the point where college athletes might stay in school that extra year instead of going to the NFL?
You know, I think, and that's a great question, I think what you're going to see in that circumstance is when people get that draft grade back, I think there's going to be a higher standard for me going. Like if, all right, well, you know, I went from a third round to a mid-second round now. You know, I don't have a chance to make any money while I'm here in college, so I'm going to go ahead and go. Now you come back and say, wait a minute, I'm talking Outback Steakhouse, I'm talking to Meineke, I'm talking, you know, MonsterJobs.com or whatever it is, and I'm going to be a mid-second rounder? No, I think I'm going to come back and try and improve my grade. I think that's where you're going to see the difference. Because, again, you will have guys, too, now that kind of come out of nowhere their junior year or maybe their redshirt sophomore year that before the season maybe didn't have a ton of NIL deals but come on the scene and make a splash and scouts are like, wow, and they're like, we got to consider this guy, and you see those guys leaving, but you always have that. But I think the standard to leave now with NIL will get, I guess you could say, higher but lower in the draft picks, if that makes sense, to when you leave.
And
I think
it's used
a great
to
question.
Get offset with like insurance policies, right? I remember when I was at Michigan and Chad Henne was going through this trying to decide if he was going to leave after junior year. You can pay those insurance premiums, right? But this is such a better way to do that in terms of getting paid for something and waiting for that high draft
and
stock.
It's legal.
Yeah.
And it's legal. You know, and you know, the cool thing too is they're making relationships that are going to last them for
exactly.
a long time.
If they play it right.
If they play it right, if it doesn't work out in the NFL, I'm just telling you, there's so many good doors that it opens up, but that's a great question by Mike and Mary there because that's a real thing. Let's go one more. We're going to get Tony Barton.
Okay, a couple things here. Put out a poll. Is Outback Steakhouse top tier to the boosters? Want to find it out. The word's in. 52% yes, 47%. Wow,
majority wins, though.
It's tight.
We
Outback.
Need to get the Booster Club some of their honey mustard, yeah, man, because wow.
See, y'all got me thinking about Bloomin' Onions now. See, like, to me, the Bloomin' Onion in that sauce, it hits. It hits like Ichiro.
I just don't. I swear. I don't like Bloomin' Onions. What maybe that's my thing.
What
for
else
it.
Did
yeah,
they say?
Maybe that's it.
We got a $3.33 donation.
$3.33. Look at you and look
there
at me.
From the one and only convicted arsonist.
Oh,
I just
no.
love that name.
That's a
man.
Great name.
God, what a beautiful name. What's the toughest stadium that you've coached in? I know the answer.
Well, you know, you got to separate cool from toughest. It was cool when we went out and played at Navy. Like in Annapolis, like that whole
that
situation,
cool.
like just the way it is with them, the way they walk out in uniform, the way it's just, it's different. You know, the campus mm-hmm. and seeing that stuff, that was the coolest. The hardest or the loudest was Neyland. I mean, Neyland was, it was rock. Like I said, we had to like put our hands over the helmet holes on the side and scream at people right next to us for them to hear. And the ground moves. Like, that's the thing. The ground moves. But you get done coaching in there and like your voice is just gone. But the weirdest one, and I will continue to say this, the Nebraska game at Nebraska. Because it was just reverse psychology all across, and people had told me that, like buddies of mine that a coach there said, listen, when y'all pull up, it's gonna be different than like you're used to people flicking you off and telling you you suck and like you guys are gonna lose and you know this, that, and the other. You get off the bus at Nebraska and all the Nebraska fans are like, hey guys, good luck today.
Really?
Oh, they're like, good luck. They're like, glad to hope you guys traveled safe. Like, I'm looking around like,
good for them.
I'm looking at my guys like, no, don't.
That scares me
no.
more.
Yeah, I'm looking at our players like, they really hate you though. Yeah. Like, don't fall for it. No joke. We're going, it's just weird. You know, we're out there and they had, this is when Riley was still there, and they had the Boneyard, like the DJ and them playing, and we went out and typically it's like, boo, you know, boo. And they were clapping. And, like, looking at us, like, giving us thumbs up. And I was looking around. I was like, I don't like this at all.
It's a propaganda.
Yeah, it's like, I don't believe you. And then at halftime, and we didn't play very well the first half, but at halftime, we're down, like, 15 or somewhere around there. And we're going in, and it's just lined up with Nebraska fans. By the gate, we're running in, and they're like, you guys can do it in the second half. And, like, I'm trying to find something to get my guys pissed off about. And I came like, you hear how respectful they are to y'all? You hear how much courtesy they're showing you right now? It's disgusting to me. It's an illusion. It's like Job off Arrested Development. His dad's like, I don't want any more of your magic tricks. He's like, illusions, father. They're illusions. Like, that's what it was. It was just the most interesting thing I've ever seen in my life. And they told me about it, but it's just reverse. I swear it was reverse psychology.
You know, that's like Iowa with the pink locker rooms. We went to Iowa. They had the pink locker rooms.
It's just a mind game.
And they were like, man, you got to watch out for Iowa and the pink locker. I'm like, these are the biggest locker rooms of any away stadium.
Like,
do you care? Do you think I care? Like, Northwestern, we're 3-2 a locker. And here I have a locker to myself.
The visitor's locker room at Tennessee is just like there's like an ice chest and a little room. They're like, I don't know. Y'all figure it out.
I know. And I'm like, man, paint them pink all day.
Yeah,
just give
like
them my own locker.
The shed they keep the equipment in is better than what the visitor. And you know what? That's how it is. And you kind of like it like that. And from a coach's standpoint, you're like, look at what they've given us. Look at the disrespect. Then Nebraska guy comes up, he's like, hey, you want some vitamin water?
Yeah.
Can we get you guys anything? Is there anything?
That's
that you
hilarious.
Guys, we got Barry Switzer's about to come in here and give you all a pregame speech. He's going to do it himself.
They hooked up the pregame speech.
Dude, I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this. Downtown Lincoln, pretty sick.
Is it?
Pretty sick.
See, they weren't in the Big Ten when I was there.
And that was the cool thing, like the younger coaches, you don't go out and do anything crazy, but you go, you know, Friday night, may hang out, have a beer or two, talk about the game. There was this cigar bar down there. You know, it was just a cool situation. And nobody was mean to us. Like, we had South Alabama stores, and like, hey, good luck in the game tomorrow, guys.
Good for them.
They're like, I hope y'all are all healthy and everybody has a lot of fun.
I hope Scott Frost gets them back, man.
It'd be a great story. Yeah. I just don't see it.
You know what we have
to
get to before we get to Tony Barnhart? Oh, you know what it's time for?
It's time for the Wickles Pickle of the week. I came up with the name of that segment. Can you believe it?
I love it. Hit us with that.
I'm going to put it right here. I'm going to just let everybody just, number one, if you haven't had Wickles Pickles or the Wickles Relish, you know, number one, what are you doing with your life? And number two, they're easy to find. You can follow them at Wickles Pickles on Twitter. They're awesome. And we've had some pretty interesting situations. Mm-hmm. And if you're new to this segment, the Wickles Pickle of the Week is when we go over a problem in coaching or a decision that you really got to think about. It's a true pickle. And this one is Dino Babers and Syracuse. Okay, let's set the scene.
Yep.
You're playing Clemson. You're down by three. Been a hard-fought back-and-forth game.
At home.
You got at home. You got a good kicker, solid kicker. It's a 48-yard field goal under a minute, 48-yard field goal, and it's fourth and one. Do you try and make it a shorter field goal by going for it? Or do you say, well, I'm afraid we're not going to get it if we do go for it, and then we don't even have a chance to tie it.
Or potentially go in and score a touchdown,
a touchdown. But we also, there's a caveat. He also took a timeout on fourth and one to make the decision to kick the field goal. Here's where I sit on this, because here's where I stand. When you look at the situation, you have to look at your personnel. Always. Always. You're down by three, so a field goal ties it. Touchdown wins. Pretty simple, right? You have a monster at quarterback. Syracuse's quarterback is huge. Like, Jack and the Beanstalk's worried about him huge. You've run a lot of quarterback draws or quarterback sneaks during the game. He's had success. He's been able to fall forward. Clemson's a little banged up on defense. You call the timeout. To me, even though you have a solid kicker, you have an NFL running back as well. That kid is one of the best running backs in the country. I mean, he went over like 130 yards, I think, by the halfway through the second quarter. And your offensive line hasn't been horrible at all. But to me, it falls more under having the big quarterback and saying, guys, listen, if we can't get 1 yard, and there's a little bit less than a minute to play, to make this a shorter field goal to tie it, we don't deserve to win the game. Syracuse has built more to get 1 yard from a quarterback run than to have to get in some crazy formation and find a way and scheme a way to steal a yard and a half away from Clemson's defense. To me, because of the personnel you have, and you're not that you're playing with house money, but nobody really expects Syracuse to, you're what, 13.5-point dog?
Yep.
At home? To me, you go for that. You make it closer. And now hindsight's always 20/20. If they make the field goal, you can say, wow, it was a great choice. They didn't risk it. But to me, you're the dog. You're at home. And you've had success in short yardage with Lurch at quarterback. He's huge and can move. And was shaking off tackles the whole game. To me, you call a timeout to get yourself in a play, and it doesn't have to be an exotic play to be able to get that yardage.
Would your decision be different if they were only down by two and the field goal puts you up instead of tying?
No.
Gotcha.
No. Because to me, you know, you're trying to extend the game to win the game anyway in overtime. So it almost makes it even more of, hey, let's go for this, because if we get this thing close enough, we are going to win the game.
And you can run the rest of that minute
and
down.
That's exactly right. Yeah. But another thing is, too, if you're going to kick the field goal, don't call the timeout. Now you've given Clemson time, if you make it in a tie game, to run a couple plays and kick a field goal to beat you. Yeah. And they have athletes that are good enough to go up and get one or get a pass interference or do this and the other. So it was kind of bungled on both sides. But if you're down two or down three, I think you try and get the one. And you know what? If you don't get the one yard, the players can look at you. You can look at the players. Say, well, we went down. Well, we went down swinging. I went down because I was confident in y'all. Because a 48-yard field goal, and I know guys make it look pretty easy nowadays, that's not an easy kick. I don't care if it's indoors or outdoors or how solid the kicker is. That's not a guarantee by any stretch of the imagination. Because think about it. You go for it, you get it. You line up, you either spike it or you get it to a 35-yard field goal or a 42-yard field goal. Your margin for error is so much different. And you get that first down. Now I can control what hash the ball's on. Where does my kicker feel the most comfortable at? From 40. He likes it right middle. That's his honey hole. All right. Well, time's running down. We got a timeout. We'll run power to the right side, get it put on the right hash or the right middle. Here you go. 36-yard field goal to win the game. 36-yard field goal to tie the game. I just felt like you took the most unnecessary risk out of both of the risks, because there's risk in everything.
Yeah, I just feel like this is the type of thing is, what has the game been like?
Yeah.
Like, what has the line of scrimmage been like? And I pulled it up because I wanted to see. So, Syracuse, you're 2 for 2 already on fourth downs. So, good. You're 100%. All right? You're averaging 5.5 a carry. 5.5 a carry. So, you're getting more than 4 yards than what you need right now. And you were beating Clemson between the tackles.
Yeah.
Right? If the game's like that and the momentum's like that and you're somewhat winning up front, you don't put your kicker up there to make a 48-yarder. You put it on your offensive line and your quarterback and your running back who's been doing it the whole game.
True. You got to dance with the one that brought you.
Yeah.
To me. And that's our Wickles Pickle of the Week. Check out Wickles Pickles.
So
they got everything.
It.
It's not just
God,
pickles.
So
they got everything.
Good.
It is
I
so
love
good.
It.
Everything. Dill pickles even good. I don't even like dill pickles, full disclosure, but I will destroy the Wickles dill pickles. They're a little bit different. Dilly dilly. Anyways, speaking of dilly dilly, you want to bring Tony Barnhart in here?
Let's do it.
Let's bring Mr. College Football in here to round this bad boy out. All right, everybody, one of our favorite guests to bring in here to talk some college football, Mr. College Football himself. You can see him all over the college football landscape. I'm going to let him plug it at the end. Tony Barnhart. Tony, good to have you back in, man.
Jake, it's always good to be with you.
For sure, and I just want to start out kind of generic, you know, looking around the Southeastern Conference, starting with the East. Is this the year for Georgia, Tony? I mean, you look at everything else, and it's all circumstantial. You got to look at the team and then the surroundings. I don't think Georgia's been in a better spot to win the whole thing than they are right now.
I would agree with that. I think Georgia is, without question, the most complete team that I've seen, particularly now that they're playing better on the offensive side of the ball. The defense, mm-hmm. you know, is generation one of the best Georgia's ever had. And so, yeah, this is the all the stars are lined up. They've got the opportunity, but, you know, everybody understands there's a bunch of games still left to play, and there's always a possibility that Alabama's going to be waiting in Atlanta, and that has a whole another set of issues they've got to deal with.
Yeah. Well, you know, with JT, do you think there's a timeline? I mean, is it by the Florida game? Is there a point of no return with JT Daniels if you're Georgia? I think it's the best way to put it.
Well, I think the best way to put it now, Jake, is that Stetson Bennett has done nothing that would constitute him losing the job. I mean, he's playing at a very high level. He's so much better now than he was before. Now Kirby has not told me this, and I don't know that he's told anybody this, but to me, at this point, you stick with Stetson Bennett as long as he's leading this team, and the players obviously respond to him. I mean, he played great against Kentucky the other day. I was there, and so I think it's on a need basis, and Georgia's got a hot hand right now.
They do, and I'm with you. You know, you look the chemistry. The team seems to be winning the way that they want to win every week that they play. And, Tony, staying with the East one more there, looking at what Mark Stoops done at Kentucky, you look at the rest of the schedule, they handle business the next couple weeks. They're staring 11-1 down the barrel. It's one of the best coaching jobs I've seen from a 3 to 4 year period. This isn't just a one-off, hey, he came in, inherited a bunch of good players, and they're playing well. He's really built that place up a little bit.
Well, I did a column last week about that, and the fact of the matter is, after 3 seasons, he started 0-8, mm-hmm. 2-6, 2-6 in the SEC, and there were some loud people that wanted him gone, but Mitch Barnhart said, "No, we're sticking with this guy. I know the plan," and plus they invested in the football program, almost $200 million in facilities improvements, and so they stuck with him. And now he is on a roll. He had the courage to make some off-season changes on his coaching staff and the philosophy of offense, hiring Lee and Cohen from the Rams, and all of that has paid off. So Kentucky is in a very good situation right now.
Yeah, they are. And again, like I said, you look at the rest of that schedule. If they handle business, I don't know how he's not in the running for coach of the year. Now, obviously, Kirby Smart, they go undefeated, win the whole thing. First time since 1980. You almost have to give it to him, and it's well-deserved. But looking at the West, Tony, a little more open than I think a lot of people thought. And where we're at right now, when you look at Alabama, may not be as elite, especially in that front seven on defense as we've seen in the past. What are your thoughts on the West right now before we get into some specifics?
Well, obviously that was a big win for Texas A&M over Alabama, but now Alabama's awake, okay? They're awake, and they only have one path to the college football playoff now, and that's to win the rest of their games and play Georgia and beat Georgia in the SEC championship.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how they get to the playoff, and they've proven that once they get there, they can absolutely win it up. They won it as a four seed in 2017.
Yeah. No, and, you know, it's crazy when you look at the rest of the season. You look at where Auburn is right now, maybe a little bit better than what people thought with the personnel they've had. The wide receivers stepped up last week at Arkansas. I want to talk about the new coaches for a second. Let's start with Brian Harsin. Your thoughts on what he's done for the Auburn program, where they sit right now, still controlling their own destiny, something that you always want to have the further you go into the season.
Well, let's look at what Auburn has done. They're 5-2. They have two losses. One is at Penn State, which is by eight, which is number six or seven, whatever the latest poll is. And the other's to number one, clearly the best team in college football. They're 5-2. They've won the rest of their games. True. I think what Brian Harsin hoped was by bringing in Mike Bobo to work with Bo Nix, that Bo Nix would become steadier, make fewer mistakes, play better on the road. Well, guess what? He is steadier, he makes fewer mistakes. And they went on the road to Arkansas last week, and that was a huge win for Auburn to go on the road and beat that team, no doubt.
Yeah, well, Tony, it's such a good answer. We had, like, the Boys and Girls Club or something here. They're all celebrating in the back, listening to how great your answers are as they're kicking field goals and throwing footballs around here. One of the cool parts about being here at the College Football Hall of Fame. But also kind of, you know, transitioning down toward the middle of the West. You look at Arkansas, Sam Pittman, I know he's in year two, he's done a great job. But let's look at Shane Beamer. You know, they snuck one by Vanderbilt. How do you think he's done so far? And he didn't inherit much, Tony, at the end of the day, from a personnel standpoint. Maybe the least out of anybody outside of Clark Lee.
Well, yeah, and what we said at the beginning of the season was South Carolina is going to be successful under Shane Beamer, but it's not going to be this year. He just simply doesn't have the roster.
Yeah.
Jake, he's got a former graduate assistant coach as his starting quarterback, okay?
Yeah.
Luke Doty's hurt. He's out for the rest of the year, and he's got a guy who came to South Carolina to start his graduate degree as a graduate assistant and start his coaching career. Now he's the starting quarterback.
Okay? It's wild.
That tells you about where their roster is.
That's exactly right. And we got a kind of a Bobby Boucher situation going on over there. It always makes me think about during the movie when Michigan tried the towel boy and he just gets wrecked going across the middle. He's like 16 years old. But Tony, Josh Heupel, and I know the stuff at the end of the game with Tennessee, them throwing trash on the field, it was a horrible look. But he's actually fared a little bit better, not that they've been outstanding, running that style of offense with the lack of depth personnel-wise on defense. What are your thoughts on Josh Heupel in Tennessee so far?
Well, we thought going into the year that 6-6 would be a good year and 7 wins would be a great year. And they're still in position to win 6 games. I thought they played well at home. And obviously, if they had a chance to win that football game, it could have gone either way. So I think here's the thing, Jay. Tennessee under Josh Heupel now has an identity. We know who they are. We know what they want to do. We know the kind of players they're going to recruit to run that offense, and they seem very comfortable with it. And Tennessee fans, I was in Knoxville last Monday to speak, and the Tennessee fans were so excited about where they're headed. And so I think Josh Heupel's done a really good job.
Yeah, and they need to get that NCAA cloud just out. Tell them what it is. The longer it hangs over, people use it in recruiting, and you really don't get a start-from-scratch type of situation. But, Tony, before I let you plug all your great stuff, man, when you're looking this season, do you still feel it's it's Georgia, Bama, and then everybody else? Is there a team outside of those two that you think could give them a run for their money?
Well, on a good day, Texas A&M has a chance to be in that discussion. Obviously, they beat Alabama. They beat them at home. But in terms of sheer talent, and they have a lot of really good players. I just think Alabama, and you, those of you who follow recruiting know that Alabama and Georgia recruit at a different level than everybody else, particularly in the SEC. But on a good day, Texas A&M can be in that conversation, but it's really Georgia and Alabama.
I agree. I think you're going to see those two teams probably play, you know, twice. But again, Tony, you look, if Alabama loses to Georgia in the SEC Championship and has two losses, it's going to get really weird here at the end. But tell everybody where they can find all your great work.
Well, all the stuff that we write is on our web. I'm on a website with two of my longtime buddies, TMG College Sports. It's under the SI umbrella. You go to si.com/colleges/TMG. TMG stands for the media guys. Obviously, we're still doing work with the SEC Network, and we do a little radio here in Atlanta and Nashville. Mm-hmm. That keeps us out of trouble.
For sure. Well, Tony, I appreciate it, brother. Let's do this again soon. I'm sure the storylines will continue to write themselves as the season goes on. I appreciate it, my friend.
All right, Jake. Good to talk to you.
TB bringing it old school, baby.
Man. Tony.
Tony, 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 Tony.
Tell you what, man.
I tell you what, Tony. Tony's going to tell you what. Speaking about telling you what. Rumor has it the Dark Emperor is making an appearance Thursday. Just got that sent down from corporate.
Yeah.
He's going to be here.
Old Palp?
Old Palp.
Old Palpatine?
Old Palpatine.
O as in O-L-E.
All
right.
All right.
Not O-L-D.
Right.
I see what you did there.
Before we wrap this up,
got some
like
picks?
Like Jay-Z and Kanye.
We got a little ball game.
Are you ramping?
Dude, that Kanye West David Letterman interview. Wild, bro.
I haven't seen it.
Wild.
You never ramped up?
Pass.
You never ramped?
Okay. Anyways, that's neither here nor there. All right, here's what I got. Coastal and App tonight. Guys, I've gone back and forth on this. Mm-hmm. I've thought about this. I've thought, you know, about as much as Socrates thought about anything. Aristotle thought about the future. Nostradamus.
You went more in depth, though.
Obviously. I went way more in depth.
Yeah, obviously.
Way more in depth. Yeah. And here's what I've came up with. You know, part of me wanted to take the under at 61.5. Mm-hmm. I had a conversation with myself. And I said, would future Jake forgive present Jake for taking the under in this game when I felt like it could get weird?
And what did he say?
He said no. So future Jake is taking App State Coastal over 60.5. I'm feeling 34-27. I'm feeling it, which my math is correct at 61.
And that's what both those TTPs are, aren't they? 33.5 and 27.5, something. You're right
on
it.
I'm going over.
All right.
I'm feeling a 34-31 win. But 34-27 will help out Blaine in his sharp, so I hope it's 34-27.
Blaine,
that's what I got.
Blaine, what you got? Me.
You know,
you already have some action on this
one. I've been on Coastal since day one.
You have?
You know, back when the program started, I was in the room. You know, and there's a lot of great thoughts and good ideas going around. So, you know, it feels good to be part of that foundation for that program.
I heard that. I heard you have a plaque in there in the facility.
More than one.
You were sitting in there.
I actually have a statue that only a certain certain people are allowed to see.
Yeah.
You know, Kevin, I wouldn't expect you to know. Yeah.
But, are you going
to
get on with your pick or what's the deal?
Yeah, so I am. So I took a sharp Monday at 3.5.
Coastal.
Coastal, right? Yep. And it's up to 4.5.
You love to see it.
Okay. Love to see it.
It got up to 5.5.
It got up to 5.5. It got bet down. So my head's in the right place here. I look at this game, and other than the sharp, you know, a lot of things didn't pop out to me.
Yeah.
All right? But I found it.
You found it.
I found the golden ticket.
You
wear
Waldo's
factory.
You wear Waldo this thing?
Second quarter over.
He always does this, man.
16.5.
Over.
Over. The over, right? It's going to be like this, okay? I can tell you exactly. I can just put it in your head right now.
Tell them to me.
In the first quarter.
Preach.
Right before the end of the first, Coastal's going to be on apps 20.
7-7.
25. Maybe a 7-7 game. You're going to get that score within probably the first minute of the second quarter.
It'll be huge for you.
And then, you know, and at that point, guys, we're just free-falling.
You need
we're
a touchdown and a field goal.
We're sailing. No, this isn't a game you look at and like, you know what, guys? I'm going to take the under.
That's what I had to talk to myself.
Yeah. So I got a 3.5 sharp out there, and my today's bet is the over 16.5. Your boy's been hot. We've all been hot. Let's stay hot.
You're dubbed 78-53, so you're doubling it up tonight.
I like it.
I didn't know you were Irish. You're from Dublin.
Listen, I expect App State at home to get up for this one, hopefully play better than they did against Louisiana. But if their performance is anything that resembles that game, Coastal will ride, okay?
For sure.
I'm going to take Coastal first half minus 2.5. Ooh. So all that stuff y'all are saying can play out. They can be at the 7-7 all and all this.
I like this.
I just need them up by a field goal or more in the first half. Let's go Coastal.
So just to recap, I've got over 16.5. Blaine's got Coastal minus 3.5. And he got down the sharp, and he's taking second quarter over 16.5. You're taking Coastal to be up by 3 or more by halftime. So
give
Coastal minus 2.5. I love the picks, guys. Let's see if we can stay hot. Also love Wickles as well. A little bit hot, but not hot enough to scare you away from the table. That's why it's good. It's a little, you know, a little bit of dangerous, but also safe.
Hot enough to get you in the door.
That's exactly right. Hot enough to get you in the door. That's a great way. You're on the list. You're not on the list. You can come in. Yeah. So anyway, appreciate you guys. You're always on the list. Shout out to the Booster Club. Great show today. Thank you, Tony Barnhart, Cole Kublik, Wickles Pickles, Wickle of the Week. Dino, you should have gone for it, man. Make sure you hop in tomorrow. Got another great show. Going to be talking about everything happening in college football. I'm sure there'll be some more news. Enjoy your college football watching tonight. And like App State's halftime lead. Or not halftime lead against Coastal tonight. We're going. Gone.
The J-Boy Show is produced by David Cohn. Associate producer, Blaine Crane. Audio engineer, Faison Sharif. Executive producers, Jake Crane, Vince Thompson, Steve Chamberlain, and David Cohn. Voiceover announcer, Mark Aston. Please subscribe to The Volume on YouTube, where you can catch us live weekdays at 3 p.m. Win the water cooler with The J-Boy Show.
Volume. This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.
Tired of restless nights? At Leesa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Leesa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.